Welcome to From the Horse's Mouth, the official podcast of Providence Day School, bringing you spirited, informative, and entertaining conversations from the global PD community. Now here's our host, a familiar face and a voice on the PDS campus, world language teacher Jay Barron.
Pause. So we're talking with Ms. Katie Carmichael, Providence Day faculty, for, dare we say, 20?
This will be my 24th year.
Fantastic. So we'll just refer to you as the institution at this point. And also, Jackson C. Carter just graduated, class of 19. Yep.
Yes,
congratulations.
Sir.
And Marissa Alam, who graduated the year before. Correct.
Yes.
Class of 18.
Yep.
And I am fascinated by Freedom School, and I've done so little with it. I've only been in to read, I think, once or twice over the years. This is the seventh year? Is that
right? This is the eighth year.
Eighth year of Freedom School at Providence Day.
At Providence Day. It's the 16th year in Charlotte.
Fantastic. And we are still the only
private school in the nation to host one.
How broadly is it established across the nation?
It's a national program through the Children's Defense Fund for kids who are below poverty level. So there are many across the country. Charlotte is a unique entity because we have 18 freedom schools, and we have a main office who organizes field trips and busing and those kind of things. And my role as the director of Freedom School at Providence Day is I'm in charge of all the Providence Day aspects, volunteers, on-site activities, which you have done, Jay. You've done music here and at multiple places.
Like three times total.
anything is anything.
Well, I'm glad you look at it that way. Jackson Seacard, why are you here?
I am assistant director for official water bottle filler at lunch to Ms. Carmichael.
Oh, wow.
As I understand it, you've done this for 5 years now in some form or fashion?
I believe so.
Why?
Every summer it's consistently my favorite thing I do. Right now when I see my friends, it's all I want to talk about to them. It makes my day every day.
Can you take yourself back to 8th grade, 9th grade Jackson and kind of walk us through why you decided to step into this in any way?
I mean, I always like playing with kids, something to do over the summer or two. And then also my brother was already involved, so that made it even easier. And so I started coming in just for afternoon activities. And at first it was a little intimidating since I was barely bigger than some of the level 2 kids. Okay. But I mean, they all just warm up to you so fast, and it's just more fun for me, honestly, than it might be for them.
He got involved, and Jackson actually started before, like, he could. He earned money for his confirmation and bought snack for the whole Freedom School.
I mean, it's clear that you were comfortable. To my mind, it was clear that you were comfortable with this whole arrangement early on, and I know that your family has all participated in it. Your parents have come in red and so on, right?
Yes.
But I'm just curious to know, I mean, there are a lot of summer volunteer opportunities out there for people who are willing to volunteer. Is there something about Freedom School in particular that drew your attention or Ryan's attention, your brother? Or
I really appreciate how it's an issue that's close to home, where it's Charlotte. It's not going to a different city to help there. It's kids who live a couple miles down the road, and their lifestyle is completely different to Providence Day's. And honestly, I told one of my friends just the other day, I think Freedom School has made me a more empathetic person. If you're at Providence Day, you're kind of, it's true that you are in your little fishbowl. Hearing what some of these kids do just when you ask them how their night's been is completely different to the support I've had from both my parents. So that's been kind of cliche, but really perspective changing.
Can we talk about what we think the best metaphor for PD is? I've heard fishbowl. I've heard bubble. Are there others out there?
I think bubble is the
best. Yeah, bubble is the favorite used by
it. Bubble.
Yeah. But I think aspects of Freedom School have really, like, for people who have participated, have put some pinholes in that, because it is not, like, as Jackson was saying, the issues that these kids have is not something in a third world country or just something at a holiday. It's kids that you really connect with that are really important to you. And I would disagree with one thing Jackson said. It is not just him having fun. Like, when you see the kids, how they clamor to be with him, even this summer where he's, you know, more my assistant and doing all the background stuff with me, which is not the most glamorous role on campus, he knows every scholar's name on our site and knows almost every background story. And if he doesn't, it's because he hasn't had a chance to like sit down with that scholar. But that would be one of the reasons that I chose Jackson for Team Board, is his strong ability to connect with others.
Marissa, what are you doing here?
Thank you.
So I'm an SLI here. So that means that I'm a teacher with Freedom Schools, and I have my own class of 10 scholars, I believe. It's, yeah. The numbers have changed a little bit throughout the summer.
Where are you in school now?
I'm at Chapel Hill. Okay. UNC Chapel Hill.
Woohoo!
And so you came back from Chapel yes. Hill to do a year of Freedom School, a summer Freedom School.
Yes.
Why did you decide to do that?
So I was on the teen board for 2 years, and I'd volunteered a little bit before that with the Freedom School at Providence Day, and I just knew, even if I only do it one summer as an SLI, I knew it was something I wanted to do. And coming out as a freshman, just finishing 1 year at college, there's not too many opportunities, so I figured I'd wanted to do it right away and see how much I really love it.
Are you by any chance studying education?
A little bit. So my major is Human Development and Family Studies, okay. And it's in the School of Education. So I could go into so many different fields of work, anything from teaching to physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech, pathology, psychologist, just working with people.
But I have to ask you guys, because clearly in this conversation are two incredibly cool teachers, and then two other people who would be incredibly cool teachers and in fact already are in your work you're doing here. Is it cool to be a teacher?
I think it's cool.
I think
I'm going to go with no.
I think it's cool for a teenager to be a teacher when you've been in school your whole life and that's all you know, yeah. And you haven't yet, you know, done anything other than learn and learn from older people. It's cool to change the roles and be that older person that other people are learning
from. The roles
from.
And the rules.
The roles and the rules, yeah.
Well
a little
done,
bit.
Freudian slip.
Yeah, because you made up all the rules in your classroom
that
this summer.
That is true, yeah. So,
were you a good student at Providence Day?
I like to think I was.
Were you a rule follower at Providence Day?
Yes.
100%.
Nothing wrong with that. But I ask the question sincerely also because I think back to when I was in school and, you know, becoming a teacher was so low on my list of things that I thought I would do with my life. And I felt like society was telling me in lots of ways, okay, you could be a teacher, that's fine. But if you're going to be a teacher, you have to be a professor. If you're going to be a teacher, you have to at least get an advanced degree first. You have to be a certain kind of teacher, or you have to do research. There has to be more to it than just teaching, because teaching honestly was kind of looked down on. And I guess my question to all three of you is teaching a valued profession, a respected profession in the United States in 2019? What do you think?
I don't think so. I think, especially after finishing my first year, I took an intro class to my major. And in that class, there was a unit on the different jobs you could get out of it. And a lot of the jobs are, you know, with little kids and elementary education, and a lot of people who are in the STEM fields and more math and sciencey and the numbers going around in their brain, they don't realize that the human connection is still so important in that. And like working with kids and people and teaching is how the other jobs come around, and people don't realize that it all starts when you're like 5 years old.
Well, and I think it's interesting because I've taught kindergarten, fourth grade, and second grade. And when I tell people as I meet them what I do, and I say I'm a teacher, generally everybody has a really like polite response, and they were like, then they follow with, what do you teach? And I say second grade, and most people like wince as if it's torture. But if you don't have people who really, because I really believe in what I do, you know, and I think there's a lot of value to it, and you couldn't do what you do if I don't teach the kids how to read, you know? So that's what makes Freedom School so very important, is the kids that are doing Freedom School, typically they believe that they start with a million word deficit when they go into kindergarten. And if they don't do an intervention program like Freedom School during the summer, they lose 2 to 3 months every summer, which means by third grade, they can never catch up to other children in a different socioeconomic group. So that's where like the elementary education is so vital.
Do you get the impression that some of the Freedom School scholars also see, they're very young, but this is the age when we like to ask children, what are you going to be when you grow up, right? And maybe some of them, I don't want to make assumptions, have come from school situations where there's more confrontation or there's more difficulty or, you know, fill in the blank. You know them, I don't know them. But have you had a conversation with a student, Marissa, at school where they say, you know, I want to grow up to be like you, or I think I want to be a teacher someday?
So I had one student, I forget who it was, but told me they want to be a teacher. But a lot of the boys especially say that they want to be athletes.
Yeah, athletes is very popular, especially when you're young.
Yeah, and during national training for Freedom Schools, that was a big thing that was talked about, is that these kids are told that if they want to go to college, it's going to be on a sports scholarship. And they don't know that there's academic scholarships or there's other ways to get money for college. They think that they have to be an athlete, a professional athlete, to get an education. And so I think another smaller part but of Freedom School is just showing them the possibilities that are open to them.
I think that the tagline on that is that some of the aspects of Freedom School are changing the narrative for these kids. So, for instance, pointing out to them that, no, you don't have to be an athlete. That's not the only way to go to college, but there are lots of other avenues. And the school that our scholars come from is Rhema, and Rhema's school motto is Rhema Proud, College Bound. But another aspect of our Freedom School is a third of our students are primarily Spanish-speaking. And I talk a lot with our teen board about the fact that in our school, if you are fluent in Spanish or working towards fluency and fluent in English, we refer to you as bilingual and look at that as a huge strength. And these kids are in a place where their narrative that's being shared with them is, you're not good enough in Spanish at home and you're not good enough in English at school. So they're marginalized when they are actually bilingual. So I think a lot of this is hard just because societally, because where they are socioeconomically, what I would say to someone at our school would be different from what they're hearing in their own life. So a lot of Freedom School is building up their self-efficacy by helping them see through the themes each week. I can make a difference in myself. I can make a difference in my family. I can make a difference in my community. I can make a difference in my nation. I can make a difference in the world. So to help them see, you have the ability to impact change in the world around you.
Jackson, ¿te gusta hablar español?
Un poco, señor.
Muy bien, muy bien. Pass. So let's play a little game. I want you to imagine one of your Freedom School scholars. And I want you to imagine that person's life 15 years from now. And I want you to think about a child who is sort of in the context of what difficulties he or she has, and maybe a conversation you've had with that child, without mentioning a name, obviously. Tell me how this story plays out. And tell me how you played a role in that story playing out. And I know that's a big question. You want to think about it maybe for a sec. Well, you have somebody
in mind? Just a tagline. I work at the grocery store in the evenings for a couple years now, and I invited my manager to come read with the kids, and he asked what program. I said Freedom School, and he said he was actually a Freedom School scholar when he was a kid.
Oh, wow.
So that really put a good perspective in my mind, because he's a manager at my store, super responsible, smart guy, headed to college. So that made me feel comfort where I haven't seen any of the kids grow up yet, but now I'm definitely a lot more hopeful.
Can you imagine a scholar 15 years from now?
Well, so when I was a teen board, I had a scholar in the class I was volunteering with, and her younger brother is now here at Providence Day and Freedom School. And the girl who was in my class a few years ago, she came back to one of the parent meetings and told me that she just graduated from middle school with all A's. And I was so proud of her because, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, it would have been a different story. And I'm sure Freedom School played a huge role in that.
Katie, what is it about Freedom School that works? What is it about this model?
Having early age intervention is important, because if you can shore up some of the reading skills, that can help you to be more successful going forward. I think of a child that was here for many years. who, when she came in, she could not read a single letter. And I remember some of our alumni, Maya Murphy and Anna Cockrell, sitting with her in my classroom with whiteboards and teaching her her letters. And two summers later, she was reading Magic Tree House books. So I would think about, in 15 years, somebody who's actually on campus this summer. He, 5 years ago, was a scholar at our site. Yes. And always a strong reader, really amazing kid, amazing family, bilingual. And he talked to me last year at the end of the summer, because his brother was still on site and is on site this summer as a scholar. And he asked if he could volunteer, and I gave him my card. And he reached out to me and ended up doing what's called the Freedom School Academy through the Freedom School office. And he's a junior servant leader intern on our campus. And I think he is someone who will, you know, push himself to, he's doing amazing in high school. He's going into the 10th grade. And I see him finding different ways to use his strengths in Spanish and his ability to navigate the Hispanic and Latino communities to help further his community the way he does with his own family. He goes to appointments with them and interprets, and he can translate written things for them. So he already has such a strong sense of self and purpose that I see him doing something very incredible in our community to kind of change the maybe misconceptions of people that might have of his, you know.
Well, I hope you guys know that you are changing lives. And I hope that as you think about college, as you're heading to college, as you're going back to college, that you know that whatever you choose, there's a way. I really appreciate the parents of Providence Day. I think about your parents, for example, Jackson, and there are so many ways to give back, but to be in the classroom. Which one of you is voted most likely to come back to PD to teach, by the by the way? Neither?
Was that, nope. I think, Caroline Reed, who
Margaret. I also have one more very, very important question, if you don't mind. Bang Bang or enchiladas? Marissa, you first.
Enchiladas.
Yeah,
okay. Easily Bang Bang. I didn't even think I'd think about that.
But you don't get that many shrimp when you order Bang Bang, right?
Isn't
that a
bit of an
issue? I mean,
I don't get to answer.
Issue? Well, we're drilling down on this topic. Ms. Carmichael, how would you like to answer?
I'm going Bang Bang, too.
There it is.
Well, I don't like shrimp, so there we go.
That's easy why. Decision.
Yeah, so I had. I mean.
So would it be something else besides Bang Bang or enchiladas?
There's a vote on this in the yearbook, I think, every
really?
Year now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to say,
wow.
The shrimp tacos are pretty good.
I was going to say, I don't understand why we don't have Bang Bang enchiladas yet. I don't get it. So, Flick, if you're listening.
Senor Barron, you mentioned the parents. I think Ms. Carmichael gets the most credit with just making sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Parents get involved. We have second grade parents. It's really the best program Providence Day has that gets TK through 12th grade parents involved, donating supplies. So I helped out with the SOS Club. And I almost had to do no advertising. Parents just come in, drop off school supplies into the bins
order
every
it
month.
From Amazon.
Yeah, or the,
directly.
They'll put on PDS Mamas. There's a sale on notebooks, and boom, we have like 500 notebooks coming in a week. And we collected 130
this year. Only 100 last year.
Yep.
Did I get
130
that right?
Supply boxes that we distributed to sites across Charlotte.
The supply drive that Jackson was talking about it's only 2 years in. And this year, those 130 boxes cut off $11,000 off their budget. And that's just like our community. But we're changing a narrative in private schools where our summer is not entirely about ourselves, but it's about the community around us. And we're doing that throughout the year as well. So that supply drive apparently was a really rogue concept in nonprofits, and I did not know that. But it's got it's changed how Freedom School asks for supplies. And when people ask me, they're like, so you keep all the stuff yourself? I'm like, no. That we get those boxes, and they go straight out. The annual supply drive it has been so successful in its first 2 years, I mean, fiscally and how we've contributed. But the more we give to that supply drive, the more that impacts Freedom School's budget to be able to impact the families in a very significant way. And it's such an easy thing for us to do that each month, like coming up. And there's also a new aspect to it. This year you can do shopping in Charlotte. You could do the Amazon wish list, which are all on our website. Or additionally, we have the ability to write checks now to Providence Day and put Freedom School Supply Drive. And there's a restricted account that I will use to do bulk shopping. So I just try to give everybody different ways to help. But I think having Freedom School be a conversation at our school throughout the year is amazing because it keeps the scholars on our hearts and minds.
Thank you for being here today. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Hi, Mom.
Thank you for joining us today to hear it all straight from the horse's mouth, our spirited official school podcast. Be sure to join us again to hear the voices of our global PD community in future episodes. You can find episodes and more information at providenceday.org/podcast.